This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
And when they give you an anatomy, they want to show you how a human being is composed, put together inside, under the skin. They don't show you the anatomy of an African. You go to school and study medicine, study treatment of the body or whatever. They don't show you, they don't say this is a black man. They say this is a human skeleton. This is a human digestive system. Huh? Yes. So that's the way they are focused. They are focused on what is our life in common. They don't want to know your special life that you got. Black Afro and all that, that won't help them out at all. Say, well, man, you're getting ready to prescribe something for me and you didn't even look at my Afro? He might say that the Dr. Uwaters are down the hall. He's down the hall. You need healing. Yes. We have all these great signs of God before us, and we are all burdened and head hanging and sad. Oh, I don't see no sign that guys are God. The world has just gone astray and look like nothing that can help us. And where's God? Where's God? God is showing us signs just like he did the people of Moses. Two people separated from one another to conquer the world, to become the dominant idea on this earth. One was capitalist and one was socialist. Huh? Communism and capitalism. And they threatened us so much with their powers that they amassed that we were fearing they could bring about the end of life of human beings on this planet with their atomic energy and atomic weapons. Yes, we were fearful of that. And look what happened. The one that rejected God didn't include God in their plan or in their ideology. They only lived for 70 years and came back to God. At least permitted the citizens of their country to go back to God. That's the communist. And the other one continued to go, but look how it has progressed. At one time, there was North and South, and the South was treating human beings worse than they would treat bad animals, even animals insane with madness. They would just kill the animal. They wouldn't hold the animal and torture the animal. But the blacks, they would take out their rage on us and hang us and burn us and have a party watching you burn slowly hanging from a tree in agony while your flesh was falling off your bones. They would have a party, drink and have a party watching that. But it has progressed. Now it doesn't allow that. And it has accepted all of us into one class for citizenship. There's no more two classes. In fact, we had no citizenship. You never took an oath. You didn't even have passports. If you went abroad, you went on a white man's passport. He accompanied you. You didn't even have a passport. If you did, it didn't mean anything. It just meant you can come back to your place in the white society, come back to your place in white America. And you knew to get back in your place or risk being hung or beaten or killed. There was a time like that. And we want to say, that was the South. That was the South and the North. The same political party of the people who were mistreating us in the South, the Southern states, was our party up north, the Democratic Party. It wasn't always like that. Well, Abraham Lincoln was not a Democrat, he was a Republican. Now, I know they were called by another name, but they sprung out of it, grew out of it, and took on another name later. Same party, same political thinking was in Abraham Lincoln. The roots of it go back to Abraham Lincoln, and is now the Republican Party for us today. Yeah, same party. But up north, the Democratic Party was not treating us as bad as they were treating us in the South. But don't think there was not separation, discrimination. I remember as a boy reading a very popular newspaper that we have right now. It's still a paper supported more by whites than blacks, but a lot of blacks buy that newspaper now. It's the second of the two leading papers in Chicago. And I remember seeing in the one ads, white only. So don't think the South was the only one that discriminated and separated and segregated. They did too. White only. Up north they did too. White only. You knew not to go to those places looking for a job. It said white only, plain as day, in the ad for employment. So this is what happened. You all don't connect God with these things. You used to do that. Your leaders, before these new leaders, these new political leaders and hustlers, they used to try to get you to make connections with God's plan, with God's will. When you, big things happen to affect life, the life of the people, they would want you to bring God into the picture and try to see, understand these things in the light of what God wants. What is His will? What is His plan for man? They don't do that. They don't do that anymore now. But if we would look at how both these nations have come from a very ugly past, huh? Very ugly past. In fact, the capitalist past is more ugly than the socialist past. The communists never treated us like the capitalists did. It was the capitalists that fed on the poor, use our labor, and didn't give us opportunity to have a decent life with other citizens in this country. It was the capitalists that did that. Capitalists in the South, supported by capitalists up north, the bigger capitalists up north. These are the realities. But look how both of these two faces that were very ugly in the past, look how they have kind of start conforming to the looks of a true human person. They are being humanized by unseen forces. By unseen forces. What is the unseen forces? Truth is an unseen force in the heart, in the head, and in the heart. Truth. They are being formed by truth. They are being formed by the pressure on their life and their intelligence and their human nature, human sentiments, to respect truth and justice. So are these unseen, invisible qualities to the human eye, to the physical eye, that have been working in man to reform him, transform him, and give him the beautiful human life again that God created him for. This is happening. You don't think that's a sign of God? To me, that's a bigger miracle than the parting of the Red Sea. Oh, God parted the Red Sea. The waters opened up. And the children that were persecuted by Egypt, they didn't have boats, so they were able to walk across on dry land, huh? To me, the miracle of transforming white people in America and showing the whole world a sign by permitting a people to establish an idea and a government, and a world order, leaving out God, and bring it to its end within the life of the average person, 70 years. Huh? To me, it's great miracles. And another great sign of God to me is that God said His righteous servants, no matter how much you see the criminals advancing, and no matter how impressive their accomplishments and their power over the righteous is, God says that His righteous servants shall be the inheritors. Huh? It shall come to them. Huh? And I see now
It is not the ungodly nation. It's not the ungodly nations that's over us and over our resources. It is those that claim belief in God that are over these things. Huh? These are the realities. That's enough to wake you up. That's enough to strengthen you if you're weak in your faith. That's enough to make you say again, yes, I know there's a God. And yes, I'll give myself to God. Yes, it should be enough. And if it's not enough, it's because you have been rotten, made rotten to the core. Even your seed is no more good. It's rotten.
And a rotten seed can't produce life again. It's fit for nothing but to be left in the fire or given to the fire. And that's just what these bosses in our modern time do. If they find rotten seeds, they give you to the fire. If they can't do anything with you, they give you to the fire. And that's real. And Allah says in our holy book, when Nar al-Haq, and hellfire is reality. Huh? You all read the book and you don't even register those things, do you? When Nar al-Haq, hellfire is reality. Ain't no myth or superstition, it's reality. Don't you see yourself? I smell you smoking way over here. And I bet you if I pull your coat open and shirt down and get to your flesh, I'll see some fire. We went in a restaurant once on the road. We stopped in there with a truck stop. And these white waitresses saw us. I guess the truckers made them relax with us, you know. Black truckers coming in there too. They said, uh-oh, we know what you boys want, but I'm going to give you some cold water for those hot pipes. That's what the waitress said to us. Our holy book speaks of the thinkers. And it identifies males as thinkers. It doesn't say females are not thinkers. In fact, it says females also are thinkers. I can give you the quotes from the Quran if you would have to have it. But it says the male is known as a thinker. Now, you know, we didn't create our physiology. We didn't create our physical bodies and our physiology and our spirit to go outside the home of boys, males, to go outside the home and find your interests and find our interests, I should say, out there in the material world, in the field. But that's what we are. And doing that caused us to think on the material things in the world more than females. So males have been created and motivated by their nature and also by their relationship with their field of work or interest to use their mind thinking more. And our second father, Abraham, how did he come to his great idea for religious people, for the followers that he would have all over the world? He came to it by looking at the world, looking at the natural world and studying the natural things in the sky. And he had watched them so long, he started when it was daylight, and the interest held him so long until night came. And as the story goes in the Quran, and both in tradition, day came again, the sun rose again. And finally he came to the conclusion, after studying, letting his mind roam the objective world all around him in a high above in the heavens, he came to the conclusion. He said, none of these things are God. Now, mind you, he had come from a father who rejected him because he wouldn't accept false idols, false gods. And he said, none of these things are God. His people worship the sun, people of his father. Their biggest God was the sun, the symbol. The sun. Sun as a symbol in their religion was their biggest god. And he saw the sun, he's rising, and he said, oh, what a magnificent God. It is brightness. And in this beauty, he said, what a magnificent God, he said. And he saw it and he kept his eye on it. This is teaching us the patience and discipline of scientific thinkers. He kept his eye on it. Though he was impressed, he marveled at the sunrise, witnessing the sunrise after the night had passed. He didn't conclude yet that it's truly the God that Abraham should have. He said, isn't this a wonderful God, a magnificent, glorious God, a brilliant God? And as the sun went up and started to decline, and finally disappeared, and night was beginning, was about to start again, Abraham said, my God is not one to die or to set. Not one to die or to set. So he did not accept that the sun was God. Then he concluded. He said, God is the one, the cause for all of these things. So he came to the conclusion that there is one cause for all existence, and that was Abraham's God. And Abraham's God was the God that was truly the God, and God was pleased with Abraham. But Abraham didn't stop there. Abraham said, surely I have wronged my own self. Speaking to God now, he says, surely I have wronged or oppressed my own self. And I confess my faults to you, O God. He said, Father, forgive me, and so forgive me all of my faults. And he went on to pray to God for forgiveness. That's what we should do, brother, black brother. We should in this day and time, in this 2005 September, right now, we should say quietly where we are sitting, Allah, my Lord, Rabbi, means my Lord, Rabbi, inni zalamtu nafsi, surely I have wronged and oppressed my own soul. فَغْفِرْ لِي ذُنُوبِ جَمِيعًا. Forgive me, please, for all of my wrongdoing. And you should continue the prayer of Abraham. But let me stop here and go off from that focus, but yet staying with the prayer of Abraham. Muslims have the prayer of Abraham. We can't complete our prayer without it. We can complete it without it, but we're cutting it short. We can complete it with Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I witness that there is but one God. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, abduhu wa rasuluh. I witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger, and we can say assalamu alaikum and finish our prayer. We can do that. But that's what is called a shortened prayer, a prayer when you have an emergency, like going to your baby's rescue. You hear the baby screaming and crying, and nobody's there but you. So you can cut that prayer right real short. Assalamu alaikum. Right, go right to the baby. In fact, I'd be going to the baby. I'd be saying assalamu alaikum while I'm running. Assalamu alaikum. Life is very important, and especially our babies. Yeah. So, yes. So we have that prayer called Salat Ibrahimiyya, the prayer of Abraham. Now listen, look how this prayer goes. Don't lose the focus now. The focus is on moral excellence, the human excellent nature that Allah created for us. It's our core life. It is the seed of Adam that will live in us and give us another chance for even a greater life if we don't corrupt that seed or corrupt ourselves to the core, where the seed is not even any good itself anymore. Yes, the prayer goes like this. Allahumma, O God, salli ala Muhammad, make Muhammad successful, wa ala ali Muhammad, and the followers of Muhammad. Kama, here is the important part. Kama sallita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. As you made Abraham and the followers of Abraham successful. Huh? So we're not just asking for success in this life. We're asking for success that Allah gave Abraham
and the followers of Abraham. Who are the followers of Abraham?
I'll leave that for you to ask as you go back home tonight. Think about it. They're all around you.
Yes, the Christians came into the new light enlightenment of the gospel, but they still say they're the children of Abraham, and they know their great leaders were followers of Abraham. Yes. All right. Now, the second part says, وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ and bless us as you blessed Abraham and the followers of Abraham. So we're asking for two things. We're asking for success, and what the success has reference to? The eternal life. Huh? The eternal life. We ask first that God favor us to have that eternal life, the life that will take us to the destiny that God wants for us. Huh? And then, but secondly, we ask, see, you have to put first things first. The life of the soul is more important than the life of the body, the flesh. But now we ask for him to bless us also as he blessed Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Oh, Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you blessed Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Bless! How did he bless Abraham and the followers of Abraham? He told Abraham that you'll become leader or father of many, of the many, the nations, huh? And he said, look at the stars. Can you count them? Look at the sands on the seashore. Can you count the grains? I'm going to multiply your seed like that. You think he meant this flesh body? Abraham was whatever he was, his race. You think he meant you're going to multiply that? No. What is your seed? Your seed. That's your core life. Your core life. This core life that I'm giving you, this new enlightenment that gives you a new mind and a new life, appreciation for education that you can extract from material existence, from the physical world all around you, even yourself. And God says in our holy book, وَأَسْيَا كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلْمًا. He has caused everything in existence to embody science and knowledge. And modern science have brought that out. There's science of everything. There's science of the fingernail. There's science of the hair. Science of the skin. Science of the bone. Science of the blood. And many other sciences also included in these, under these sciences. And there's science of everything in man's makeup and science of everything in the outer world's makeup. Science of everything. And that has been stated already 1400 years ago, before the Enlightenment, long before the Industrial Age, before even the Age of Enlightenment, that is stated in our holy book. I can't help but say this to my friends, and there might be some of them that have studied their book like I have studied it. It's also in the Bible. What I'm telling you is also in the Bible. Yes, and I could give it to you in the Bible, where there's science in everything God created. Enlightenment for the human being, if he will give his attention to it with his brain and with his good nature, God will bless him to draw out, extract from the matter, the dead matter, the light of science that he can use to make his world a much better world, a much progressive world, and a much less burden world. You know, knowledge and science, progress for science and knowledge has taken a lot of burden off of man's community life. Think how we traveled back then when we didn't have these great sciences and this great enlightenment. Think how we traveled. Look how hard just traveling to another area was. Not to mention crossing the water or crossing the ocean. Not only travel, everything else has been advanced
burden, great burden, has been taken off of man's life. I know the time is going, and I'm going to be leaving you shortly. But God knows this is my cup of tea and everything else on my table. I could stay here with you forever until I'm gone. I really could. I could stay with you until I shrivel up and die, and I'd be happy. Returning now to nature and to the subject for this occasion. Nature then has been our most valuable resource, beginning with the nature of the human being himself. The human being thinking as a thinker, as a philosopher, as a scientific thinker, the human being has been able to bring out of man and out of the environment, oh, treasures of knowledge, benefits, lessons for our better life and advancement. Man! But this same man now, who is the cause of great production and great wealth, this same man, his original type is studied by those who are moved by greed more than by love of humanity. And they have studied us too. And they study and withdraw out of you, extract from what they study, ideas, schemes, attractions, language that can excite you, attract you, motivate you and influence you, captivate you to the extent you lose consciousness of your original self or your original life. They study you too. And they study you and they increase the material wealth for themselves. And they cause their victims to lose eternal life, to lose the real life, to lose even the seed of Adam, the seed of the original life. So there's a science of exploiting the original model of man to take him from his Lord and his true destiny so that they will be the rich and the powerful. And I conclude, may God save us from the Satan and from hellfire. And may we rise up and do what we can to save ourselves and our families from the fire of hell that's burning right here in the United States and everywhere on this earth now. God says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. Assalamu alaikum. God be with you, and I'll see you next year right here in Chicago. And we promise you that we are going to save $1.5 million to more dollars out of your pockets. You tell the poor that was left back home, didn't have the fare, tell them I think they'll be able to afford it. Many of them will be able to afford to come here next year because we are reducing the cost greatly. We're going with the poor people of the South, and we're going to have our big convention there. These places are too expensive for us. Thank you.
Be sure to join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. Or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For W. Dean Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.